18. Good to be here with everybody. It's always a blessing to come up here with you guys and see all you smiling faces. I was at, where did we stop? Popeye's Chicken? Way up there, some little gal. She got a kick out of me talking to her. And I think she thought I was from somewhere else. If you're down in Arkansas, they say he's from off. I thought that was a place. They got a town named 56. They got a town named Toad Suck, Arkansas. And they said, oh, he's from off. I thought that was the name of a town. Oh, they got, what they mean is off somewhere else. So anyway, but crazy world. Good to be back up here in Delaware. Rains. He said that's a good thing. And so anyway, it's supposed to be cooling off. Curly's here. Good to see him. Amen. I hope y'all pray for revival. Amen. That's bad. Brother Mark said it before. I say it sometime, go somewhere. I said, it's terrible when a preacher is more interested in revival than the people are. And man, I mean, revival, you got to have, you get dead and cold and indifferent, and you say, I don't feel like going. Well, that's why you come. You want to get vibed. You want to get going again. So anyway, John chapter 18 is where we're going to start. Hope you got there. You know, I'll try to help out your self-esteem, you know. And what I try to do is like Doc used to say, he said, if I knew about you what God knows about you, he said, I wouldn't even take time to preach to you a bunch of sorry rats like you. But if you knew what God knows about me, you wouldn't sit and listen to me preach. You'd just get up and walk out. And so it's a good thing we don't know everything about everybody. That's why I don't like Facebook, you bunch of devils. Amen. I don't like Facebook. I'm with Brother Mark. I think if you're on Facebook, you're of the devil. How many of you devil worshipers are there around here? Bunch of you, I'll bet you. That's a big gossip column. I got you started off on a good, fun note there, it looks like. Got a bunch of glares at me right then. You know, some people that die and go to the bad place before they quit Facebook. You know that? I ain't kidding, man. I mean, I've been to churches, but they get mad, get up and walk out. And they probably anticipated what I was going to talk about anyway. And so I got to start it off with something. You might have heard this already. Had a little old kid told that. We got a little kid preach sometimes. He got up and he said, there's these two soldiers. They're out on the sand and trudging along, and they finally come to this oasis. And so they start trudging up toward it, and they see this bacon hanging from the tree, and they thought, what in the world is a bacon tree doing out here? And as they got closer, they got a little closer, and all of a sudden they looked, and one of them got shot in the leg, and he fell down. He said, it's not a bacon tree, it's a ham bush. Well, anyway, all right. You guys, you know what we do at our church when y'all aren't getting along, when everybody's dead? We sing a song and make everybody shake hands. That's punishment for not being in a good mood. So I need y'all to help me out tonight. John chapter 18, starting in verse 33. The Bible says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it of thee, of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? I want to stop right there in that just little phrase there. What hast thou done is what I want to preach about tonight. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. I pray your Holy Spirit to help me tonight. Without you, I know I can do nothing. And Lord, I don't want to waste these people's time, and I don't want to waste your time. And so God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do what you need to in my heart and the hearts of these people. I pray, God, also you give me the anointing, the unction, and the power, God, that only you can do. And I pray it tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, Pilate asked a good question right there. Bible says about Jesus Christ, it says that Jesus witnessed a good confession. That means Jesus, when he was standing before Pilate, witnessed a good confession. He witnessed Pilate saying, I find no fault in him. You know, that's a good confession. When you say about Jesus, he hadn't done nothing wrong, and he went about doing good. Usually when my mom or dad asked me, what hast thou done, that usually meant something bad happened. But about Jesus Christ, the Bible says he went about doing good. I mean, the crucifixion would have been delayed about 4 or 5 days if Jesus would have answered this question. Pilate asked him, talking to Jesus, said, what hast thou done? I had the privilege of several times of being able to go to Israel, stand right on that spot. I mean, they found it. They found right that spot where Pilate was called the pavement, had to dig down, you know, and stuff, and they got that spot. Now, the only bad thing is when they took my picture, I was standing where Pilate was, not where Jesus was. And so that didn't work out too good. The only other thing about that when I was in Israel, you know where they went down in the water and Gideon and they drank out of the water like lapped. Well, I went and got down like the guys that got kicked out. And so I've been batting 1,000 over there. Every time I go, I'm on the wrong side of the fence or something like that. But anyway, if Jesus would have answered that question, Pilate said, "What hast thou done?" Can you imagine if Jesus would have just answered that? That'd be something, wouldn't it? The Bible says in John 21, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You understand, Jesus did a lot. I mean, you know, some of y'all, he saved you, didn't he? I mean, one or two of you. Some of you out there don't look like you saved very much. I mean, I appreciate these girls. They must have heard I was preaching. They already brought their blankets. I'm waiting for them to pull out a pillow and go to sleep on me here in a minute. I mean, here, bring your blanket. Brother Stalker's preaching tonight. We can all go take a nap. Anyway, in John 1, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Listen, what hast thou done? You know what God's done? He created all things. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, and visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. You need to pay special attention to that. They're all done for him, not for you. You'll learn, if you learn this in your Christian life, you will be a lot happier. People that have to live with you will be a lot happier. And that is, you are created for him. He's not there for you. A lot of times you sit there and you think, well, God didn't do this for me. And God, he never did intend to do it for you. I mean, if you get God to do something for you, that's just gravy on the side. You are intended to please him. You say, how am I going to please him? Well, some people he sacrificed. Some people died for him. Some people went through hell on earth for him.
Right.
And listen, you might be chosen to do something that in the, whoo, the Bible says, what? It chose them in the furnace of affliction. Yeah. That means, buddy, you are chosen to give glory to God, not for God to glorify you. Now listen, if you glorify God, some of that will just rub off on you every now and then, and it's a blessing. But you got to remember something. God created you for him. He created all things for him. I decided a long time ago, you know what I figured out? And if you'll figure it out, you won't have any midlife crisis. You know where a guy gets, his wife gets to be 40 years old and he trades her in on 220s, you know, and he decides he got to get him a Corvette. I know one guy I told that to. His wife sitting there said, you ain't wired for 220. Anyways, say you're just a 110, baby. You know, you stay off at 220. But anyway, the whole idea is real simple, and that is some guys, you get to a certain point in your life, you know, you have made it as far as you're going to go. You made it high in the company you're going to ever get. Your kids, you know what happened? Your little brats have grown up to be teenagers about that time. You go off to work. You make money. You come home. They screaming and hollering. The wife is screaming and hollering. Everybody's mad. And after a while, you say, what am I doing all this for? I mean, this is nuts. I work myself to death. Come home to this bunch of mess, rebellious little punks, and this wife that don't appreciate what I'm doing. And so he said, if I'm going to get any gusto, I got better get it now. And that's what they do. And listen, if you'll understand one thing, and that is called unfulfilled expectations. That's where you get to a certain point and you realize you will never reach what you expected to reach. And some men have what they call a midlife crisis. Women have crisis all the time. I mean, you're always having something. Drama queens, you know. The kids are dead. No husband comes home and goes, oh. I feel like Lurch. You all old enough, remember Lurch? Yeah, you know, that's what I feel like, just turn around and go, oh. Anyway, but you know what happens, a guy gets like, but if you'll make this your ambition in life, frustrated ambition sometimes it's called, where people have an ambition and they see they'll never realize it. It will never happen. Amen. And all of a sudden, you know what you can do? And I'll tell you, it works every time. And that if you make your ambition to please Jesus Christ, you can always meet it. Amen. You'll always make it. Yeah. But if you don't, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
That's right.
You might reach a few plateaus and make it here or there, but if your ambition is to please Jesus Christ, man, you can always do it. You'll never have a midlife crisis. You'll never have that problem because you can, oh, I don't care if your neck's broke laying in a hospital bed, you can please Jesus Christ. You can do it. Now, the problem with that is you say, oh, I want. It wasn't done for you, folks. You're for him. You're going to come and pass off the scene, turn to dirt, but God's going to roll on down the road. And so if you're going to do anything, you got to do it while you're alive for him. Now, that's not the message, but I thought I'd camp out on for him just a minute. And Bible says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This was not the theistic evolution. This is Jesus, what hast thou done? You think about that. You know what, Jesus, I got to think about it. What if Jesus would have answered? He said, well, Pilate, let me just tell you a minute what I've done. I created the ground that you're standing on right there. I created the moon and the stars, the planets. And as a matter of fact, I call them all by name. I got a name for every last one of them. I created the whales and the tadpoles. I created the elephants and the mice. I created the eagle and the sparrow. I created the giant sequoia tree and the blade of grass. I created all things, Pharaoh. Man, I created it all. I created your great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. And I created him out of the dust of the earth, and I breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man, I did that. I caught him and his wife hiding in the Garden of Eden. I was there when that happened. I created the mountains. I created the molehill. I created the gold and the diamonds and the rubies and emeralds way down in the ground. You said, why? Because I like looking at them. You ever wonder why God created all them weird looking animals way down the bottom of the sea that nobody ever gets to look at? God created them for his pleasure. I mean, you say, well, they can't see. They got all these colors, but nobody sees them. God sees them. Man, he created the oceans and the rivers, the lakes, the jellyfish and the sharks. He created it all. If he stood there and said, Pilate, I created everything that you see. I've done it all. I created the atoms, the molecules, the DNA that picked out what color your eyes were going to be before you had eyes. I did that. You don't even know what they are, but I created them. I created the cells in your body. I put the skin on your lips to be different from the skin on your foot. Isn't that a blessing? How would you like to kiss your wife and she got old heel calloused, lips? Ain't it good to have nice soft lips to kiss on, fellas? Amen? How would you like to have the skin the same all over your body? Wouldn't that be weird? I mean, you talk about evolution. How come we all just gonna got the same kind of skin all over the place? That's weird. Amen? God did that. Amen? Pilate would have been there a while if Jesus had listed what he had created out of nothing. All this stuff I mentioned, he created it out of nothing. Man, he created the lights and he created an eyeball to see the light. He created the sound and he created an ear to hear the sound. He created food and a tongue to taste it. And some of y'all are doing real well in that area. Amen. And on it goes. God, Jesus Christ could have said, listen, Pilate, I created everything you see. I created the fish. I created the whales. I created the birds in the sky, the eagle, the bat, the osprey, and all them words that I don't even know what they are in Leviticus that you're not supposed to eat. I've created everything you see, Pilate. If he had stood there and just listed all them animals like Adam named, he listed all that stuff. I imagine Pilate had been sitting there going, good night, man. You did a bunch. But that's just about the creation. In the Old Testament, he was called the angel of the Lord. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He walked with Adam and Eve, caught them hiding in the garden after they eat the forbidden fruit. That's Jesus did that. And he's sitting there telling Pilate, said, you remember when Adam and Eve did that? He said, well, I read about it. He said, I was there when it happened. He said, I told Noah how big to build the ark. And when Noah and all the animals got in, I took my hand and I shoved that big door closed on the ark. I shut him in. I told it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights and drown him right out. Amen. I like one part in the Bible in Genesis where it says, after they got off there, they built the Tower of Babel. And the entire Bible, they said, go to, now let us make brick. Go to, let us now make mortar. Go to this, and they go to that. And God said, go to, let us go down and confound their language. I said, God, go to them, and they didn't get to finish theirs. Listen, man, I tell you, God got a sense of humor, man. He come down, he said, well, he looked around and said, well, I'll be. Everybody, I'll just have this guy's talking the language, and I can imagine one guy going, and the other guy, what'd you call me? Pow, he hit him in the head with a hammer, and then all of a sudden you got the fight is on. And this, you got, what is that? God, Jesus Christ, could have said, I confounded all their languages. And he said, not only that, I could understand all their languages. Jesus walked up on old Abraham one day, and Abraham's out in the tent, and he walked up to Abraham and said, hey, Abe. He said, I tell you what, you're 99, almost 99, I'm going to have you, your wife's going to have a baby when you're 99, and she's way up there. And he said, okay, you say so, it'll happen. Told Abraham, I'm going to go in there and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, Sodomites, queers, fags, perverts, you know, straight, they got LGBTQRSTUV now. You don't even know what letter nowadays you can't even say the R word. You know what the R word is? They had an article in the paper. Some principal got in trouble for saying the R word. I thought, what's the R word? I started thinking back in the old language. Before I was saved, and I thought, we didn't have an R word. I don't even remember an R word. I had some bad words, but they didn't start with R. And I was sitting there trying to figure it out. And the whole article didn't do it. I had to Google it. You know what the R word is? Retard. I said, man, I was too retarded to even know. I was sitting there, you're dysfunctionally... mentally dysfunctional or something supposed to be. I said, I'm too retarded to know what the new word is. I can't figure out all that stuff. But you know something? I mean, Jesus Christ could have told Pilate. He said, I went down there and I wrestled with a guy named Jacob all night. He said, I got done wrestling with that old boy. I touched him on the thigh and he wouldn't let go of me. And he said, I named him Israel. And out of him come all these 12 tribes of Israel. And we're the ones out here giving you such a fit. Out here in where Rome controls Palestine. Jesus was Jehovah in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 6, it says, I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah was not known to them. Jesus could have told Pilate, I brought the plagues on Pharaoh in Egypt. I opened the Red Sea just at the right place where they could walk across the Red Sea. He said, man, for 2 million people to walk through. He said, when I got them through, he said, then Pharaoh kind of comes down in there. And he said, I let the water go and just drown them out like a bunch of dirty rats. I met with Moses on Mount Sinai, and I took this finger right here, Pilate, and I scratched into them the Ten Commandments with my finger. By about that time, Pilate's going, wow. He wrote the Ten Commandments. He said, I sent the quail in the wilderness. I rained manna down from heaven for 40 years on that bunch of griping, moaning, complaining bunch of Jews out there in the wilderness. I did all that. I met with Joshua. I told him to march around Jericho 7 times and the 7th day to shout. And he said, I'll knock the walls down. So I was there and I knocked the walls down for Joshua. And just so you know, Pilate, I lay my life down. No man taketh it from me. When Hezekiah was having trouble with the king of Assyria, he said, I went down and I killed 185,000 of his soldiers in one night. And by the way, Pilate, don't mess with me. I'd kill 185,000 in one night. I'm not going to have any trouble with your little Roman army here. Isn't that something? Pilate asked Jesus, what hast thou done? That's something. Jesus said, now, more recently, though, old boy, I left my ivory palaces in heaven and came down to Bethlehem as a little baby. I lived with Mary and Joseph for 30 years, subjected myself to them. Then I went about doing good. I healed lepers. I healed the lame. Woo! At the pool of Bethesda. I healed blind Bartimaeus. I raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. I remember the widow of Nain had a burial going on, and I messed that thing up and got her son up. Amen. You probably heard about when I had Lazarus. He was 4 days stinking in the grave. And I said, come out. And I, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out. And Pilate says, I think I did hear about that one. Amen. He said, man, went out on the storm. I went out walking on the water. And he said, my disciples were out in the boat. And he said, matter of fact, I brought the storm on them. And he got on the boat. He said, now when I got on the boat, the two most powerful forces of nature are wind and water. You ever thought about that? Hurricane, wind and water. Tornado, wind, water, floods. I mean, that's some powerful stuff. You can't hardly mess with them. You can put up sandbags, and if the water wants to get through, it gets through. And so, I mean, he goes out on there, and he says the winds are blowing, the waves are crashing. He says, peace, be still. And they didn't just go flap, 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 flap. He said, there was a great calm. Like that, folks. He said, man, when I said, peace, be still, pow, it was peaceful. Even the winds and the waves obey my voice. Now, that would be something if Jesus would have told him what he'd done, wouldn't he? The winds and the waves. He said, I fed 5,000 men besides women and children with two fishes and some loaves of bread. In 1 Corinthians, now I'm getting down to the message. This is all introduction. No kidding. I got long messages. I mean, long introduction, short message. 1 Corinthians 2, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know why Jesus didn't answer that question? If he had answered that question, Pilate would have said, leave him alone. He's God manifest in the flesh. I mean, this is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. We can't do it. We can't crucify him. What hast thou done? If he had answered that question, Pilate wouldn't have crucified him. So how do you know? Just said so, 1 Corinthians. If they'd have known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But Jesus had to die. He told the disciples, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now listen, folks, here's the message. Most of us, buddy, we get wag and brag time, don't we? I mean, we kill a mouse and we're mounted on the wall. Jesus Christ can slap Leviathan, that old dragon, that serpent around, and he said, I poke him with a stick like a bird in a cage and play with Leviathan, that at the sight of him, mighty men would faint and fall down. And he don't say a word about it. You know what it said? He made himself of what? No reputation. You know what you're trying to do all your life? Make a big reputation. You know, I'm somebody. I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do this. You girls, you guys, you young punks, you get around here, you say, man, I can lift up 200 pounds. Well, ain't you something? You can lift up 200 pounds. Whee! Man, you want a medal or a chest of pennant on? Badly in need of both. Now look, folks, what I'm getting at, Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. And all you spend your time doing is trying to make a big reputation. They call it out in L.A., I got to have my rep. Got my rep. That's my reputation. Your reputation is what you think people think about you. That's not what you are. You can pretend and mouth a lot. A lot of people talk. There's a big difference between talking and doing. But listen, sometimes we wag and we brag, and here's Jesus Christ that created the heaven and the earth, that made the fish in the sea, that made the birds in the air, and when Pilate says, gave him the chance, say, what have you done? He just, not much. Now, he did say something, but it wasn't all what he did, because you know why? He had to die. Isn't that something? He could have told him this. He said, not only did I do that, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you kill me. And in 3 days, I'm going to come up. And you and the Pharisees and the devils are not going to be able to stop me coming up. He said, buddy, I'm going to go out here like Superman, and I'm coming back like the Lone Ranger. Amen. I'm going to go and get out, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to bring all these people with me. Now, he did all that. You know why? To save your soul. You don't got a Savior like that. Nobody else got a Savior like that. A bunch of diaper-head Muslims, they don't have a Savior like that. You say, why you call them diaper-heads? Well, they got doo-doo on the brain. That's what's the matter with them. You know, you're up here in Yankee land and talk straight. I had a Yankee one time from New York. He's a preacher from New York. He said, well, I just talk straight because I'm from New York. You know how they talk. And he asked me, wanted me to buy a bunch of his books. And I said, well, let me, and he just kept on. And I finally said, well, you're from New York, so you talk straight, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, I'm from Texas, and we try to be nice, but since you're from New York, I'll just put it to you straight. I don't want your stupid book. Now, can you imagine that he got offended? I can't believe it, but he did. Now, the question is, I know a lot of what Jesus did. I know what hast thou done, what Jesus did. He lays it out in the Word of God. The question is, what hast thou done? You say, well, I can do this, and I can drive this, and I can do this, and I can lift that, and I'm smart, and I can. You have nothing. You ever read your Bible?
Yeah.
Without him, you can do what?
Nothing.
Then why in the world do you act like you're this big shot?
Amen. Yeah.
When the biggest person in the universe wouldn't brag?
Yeah.
What are you doing running your big mouth all the time?
Amen.
Bragging about everything. I'm going to tell you something. You can take a little bit of a lesson from the charismaniacs. You know what you can take? There is one thing about them, because I was involved with them at first and stuff. They loved to talk about Jesus. And you bunch of Baptists, you know what you better learn from them? It's about time you talk about Jesus and quit talking about yourself.
Amen.
I'm not just humble humility kind of stuff. I'm not saying, you know, go around going, I am nothing. Jesus is everything. Oh, shut up. Good night. God wants to use you so he and you can work together and you can rejoice together. Now, how come he sent Cornelius an angel? That goofball angel could have told Cornelius how to get saved. He said, well, you need to send for Simon Peter over there in Joppa. You know, why'd God do that? Because he wanted Simon Peter to go over and Jesus and Simon Peter work together to get an old boy saved. So they could do what? Rejoice together. You ever seen some of them parents, the dad's working on something, the kid's working on his bicycle or something, and the dad comes along and just say, get out of the way, dummy, and fix it? No. You want to work together.
Right.
Show that little dummy how to fix the thing. Right?
Amen.
You say, why? Because that way you both can do it and rejoice together.
Amen.
God wants to do that with you.
Right.
Now, what hast thou done?
That's good.
Woo! Said about Jesus. He went about doing good. Oh, yeah, well, I do pretty good, you know. Yeah, until somebody cuts you off in traffic. Then all of a sudden, you're the fourth member of the Trinity. Do you know who I am? You don't watch, you watch too much TV, you know that, and movies. You think you're Jason Bourne and Abracadabra, what's that guy, Rambo, and everybody else rolled into one. You strut around in your own mind. Boy, let them mess with me. They mess with you. You know who you really are in them movies? You're not Jason Bourne. You're not the guy he's chasing. You're that innocent bystander drinking a Coke that goes, poof, you fall dead. That's where you are in that movie. You ain't the hero. You ain't the bad guy. You're just a dummy standing there drinking a Coke when the car chase goes by and then they nail you. Oh, we think a lot of ourselves, don't we? And Jesus went about doing good, and he made of himself no reputation. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have a revival, there's going to have to be a whole lot more of him than a whole lot less of us.
Amen.
But I don't mean you don't do nothing. What that means is you go out there and you tell them about what a great Savior.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Woo, what a great Savior.
Amen.
You got. Said, you realize he created the ground you're standing on. You realize he created the stars in the sky. And they say, oh, I don't think so. I say, yeah, but the Bible says he does.
Amen.
You ought to talk about him.
Amen.
Out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaketh. I want to know, I can just interview your wife, fella.
Amen.
I'll find out if it's the Eagles or the, what is the teams up here? Eagles, Redskins, or Cowboys, yeah, or whatever they're. I mean, I'm just thinking, a lot of people talk about a lot that they don't talk about Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you got to be a wallflower and not do something, but Shouldn't you talk some about him? He said, I just feel weird when I do. Of course you do, stupid. There's a devil out there. I told you about that challenge. I challenged a lot of people. I said, just go into McDonald's somewhere, and you walk in there by yourself. You want to know if there, you may not think there's a God, but you'll sure enough find out there's a devil. You walk into McDonald's all by yourself, and you know what you're about to do, and the devil knows what you're about to do, and the Holy Spirit knows what you're about to do. And you stand there and say, folks, excuse me just a minute. And could I have your attention? And everybody nowadays, you'll have their attention. About four or five guys have a gun on you about that time. And you say, I just want you to know Jesus loved you and died for you. You'll trust him. He'll save you. Yeah. Y'all have a good day. We'll see you later. Walk out. Now, how hard is that? I'll tell you how hard it is. You try it, big shot. Oh, I just love the Lord. Try it. You know what will happen? About the time you get in the door, you're going, you know, these people probably don't want to hear it anyway. And by the way, I got to go to the bathroom. And, you know, I got to come back here in a couple of days and buy a hamburger. And they're going to remember me. And so, buddy, you'll find out there's a devil. And you got, Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, what's it going to hurt to do that? We had kids, all our teenagers, make them do it. I make them do it. It's like an army. Chunk them in there. Go. Do it. And then, I've had little girls go in there and do that. And everybody goes, yay. Had grown men go in there and do that. Yay. I go in there and do that. Get out of here, you weirdo. What happened to yay? Well, you're never going to know. What hast thou done? You know, back in the Old Testament, you got David's mighty men. I got stinking Benaiah jumped down in the pit in a time of snow to kill a lion. Now, let me ask you boys something. Why'd he do that? If it's me, I'd have had a bow and arrow. Chunk, chunk, chunk. I ain't jumping down there. You know why he did it? He's the same idiot, I think it is, that went out when this big old giant Philistine had a spear, and he went out with just a staff and took the guy's spear away and killed him with it. He said, why'd he do that? Because he just wanted to. Bible says, and my people, they're going to do exploits. That's right. They got something to talk about when they come home. Yeah. You know what Benaiah did? In a time of snow and kill that lion. Everybody's talking about it today.
That's right.
What have you done? Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about making you a big rep, but it kind of comes along with the territory when you do something for Jesus.
Yes.
I'll close with this. I quit drinking alcohol. And I had gotten saved, and I hadn't been going to church, just out of the army a little while. And I got out of a bar where I was passing out tracts and drinking. I always wondered why nobody got saved, but I mean, I wasn't too bright. But anyway, I pass out gospel tracts while I'm drinking a beer. And I got in my little old pickup. I went around the thing, and I was coming back, and it was a 45th Street entrance ramp, getting on Interstate 27. And I got on there, and the thought hit me. I can remember it like it was today. I can remember it. Holy Spirit hit my heart, said, I don't think Jesus like you'd do that.
Amen. Yeah.
Woo! I hadn't drunk nothing since then.
Amen.
I didn't know a Bible verse. Wasn't going to church to have some preacher tell me. I just said, if Jesus don't want it,
amen,
I quit.
Amen.
I can give you some Bible verses now. But listen, if you love Jesus, you just want to please him.
Amen.
Remember when I started this all off? You guys want to have your midlife crisis? Make your ambition in life to please him.
Amen.
You try to spend most of your life getting people to look at me, look at me. You girls, you want to dress up, paint up, wear your skirt, you know, up and all that stuff so boys will look at you. And you spend your life just, you'll do something wicked just to try to, so you can feel like you got something. I got a boyfriend. I got to have something. I got to get married. If you make your ambition just to please Jesus Christ, he'll send you that idiot around. Right? Boys, he'll send you a good girl around. Make your ambition.
Amen.
I just want to,
amen.
You please the one that created the dirt under your feet. Pleases one that says, I know mine by name. And when that thief on the cross died, he said, Lord, remember me.
Yeah. Amen.
If Jesus remembers you, who cares what the rest of them think?
Amen.
What hast thou done? We got a revival this week. What are you going to do? Amen. I'm going to ask you, why don't you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, get down on your old sorry knees, and say, Dear God, you show me what to do, and I'll do it best I can. Please. Let's bow your head. Close your eyes. You people that know what to do, do it. If you don't know what to do, you come on down here and you pray to God and say, Dear God, please, show me what to do. I want to please you. Maybe you're sitting back there and say, well, I really don't. Then you know what you pray. You say, Dear God, I'm not like that. But I want to be like that. I wish I was like that. Please help me to be where I want to please you instead of my wife, my friends, my kids, my parents, somebody else. Would you do that? He's worthy. He's worthy. You were created for him. For him.
What hast thou done? Can you imagine one day when we stand before him? A guy asked me this morning, he said, Preacher, what's the marriage supper of the Lamb?